I'm Bill Littlefield. Next week on Only a Game, the story of a guy living under a bridge who told a newspaper man, "You ought to do a story about me. I played in 3 Super Bowls." But right now, it's time for my conversation with Charlie Pierce about this week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill, and hello to our new friends at WNYE in New York. New York, a city so nice they named it twice.
And it never sleeps.
That's right.
On the eve of the NCAA basketball tournaments, it was revealed this week that the NCAA's revenues had topped $1 billion. Good news if you're an NCAA administrator, a university president, or a college basketball coach. And I'm sure you'll agree with me, not something with which players need concern themselves at all.
They can't afford to pay these guys, Bill. They're only making $1 billion.
The University of Connecticut women's team led Cincinnati 43-5 at the half on Monday evening. They ended up winning that game 75-21. Defense fell apart in the second half, I guess. Nobody's surprised at this point by UConn doing that.
I'm not either. I mean, that upset by the University of South Carolina last year looks bigger and bigger.
Yes, indeed.
We had that game. We had the fact that UConn is now 100-0 in their conference play.
Yeah.
As you pointed out, I think, earlier, why doesn't everybody just go to another conference?
Make up a new conference and don't let UConn in it.
Exactly. And they are still the number one team in the women's basketball poll.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver suggested this week that perhaps the Chicago Bulls were sitting the wrong players on the bench. Why? And what business of the commissioner is it who the Bulls put in the game?
Well, they're very concerned about obvious tanking, which the Bulls essentially committed to when they traded Jimmy Butler before the season started. But the commissioner would like the people paying top dollar to at least see the top players for 5 or 10 minutes.
Throughout the winter, it looked as if the exceptional baseball career of Ichiro Suzuki, who is 44 years old, might be over. But this week he signed a 1-year contract with the Mariners, so he'll be back where he began his major league career back in 2001 after he'd already led the Japanese Professional League in hitting for 7 consecutive years. I think Seattle fans should be pleased.
I think it's terrific. I really do. It gives Seattle a chance to give him a day at the end of the year, which I think is certainly he deserves.
Roger Bannister died this week. He was 88. He's known for running the first sub-4-minute mile back in 1954. It's worth mentioning, certainly, that he went on to have what has been termed a long and distinguished medical career, so not a fellow who rested on his laurels, significant as those laurels were.
Yeah, we don't have these things anymore, but it was one of those things people actually believed that the human body was incapable of running a mile under 4 minutes,
right,
simply because nobody had done it before. And, I mean, if you read the account of the race, this was a perfectly structured assault on this barrier. He had not one but 2 rabbits running out in front of him. He had planned it out. And then a couple of months later, he and John Landy both ran under 4 minutes.
Right. That's exactly. The Golden Mile, I think they called that. NHL players were recently asked to name the best player in their game, Charlie, and Sidney Crosby won in a walk or a skate. Anyway, he won. Surprised?
No, not at all. But I am surprised that Connor McDavid, the young player for the Edmonton Oilers, came as close as he did. He won 2 of the categories. He's the fastest skater and the player with whom you'd most want to start a franchise. His problem, basically, is that he plays in Edmonton, which was a problem for Wayne Gretzky. I mean, you might as well play on Mars as play in Edmonton. But Connor McDavid, if he comes to your town, go see him. He's really worth it.
Some evidence this week that football coaches have a sense of humor, or at least some of the coaches who've worked for the Cleveland Browns do. They've formed a kind of club, right?
That's right. The Fired Browns Coaches Club, and they have a party.
It's a big club.
And it is a big club. There are about... What, 3, 6, 9, 11 people in it at this point? You know, that's just the head coaches and the coordinators. I mean, they're going to wind up having to turn people away at the door the next Christmas party.
Last weekend, the Fairless High School baseball team from Massillon, Ohio, held a fundraiser. One of the auction items was a jersey worn by former Indiana basketball coach Bob Knight, and it was stolen. And the school has offered amnesty in exchange for the jersey. So I guess the big question is, will Bob Knight give it back?
Not for $250, which is what its estimated worth was. I love the fact they were holding that fundraiser in a bowling alley, though.
Of course.
Because you have to expect problems if you're going to do that.
And finally, Charlie, we turn to soccer. And the unfortunate Sanchez what? Who plays for Hemel Hempstead. His problems on the pitch began when an official attempted to give the lad a yellow card and asked his name. Should we let Bud Costello take it
from
there?
I was about to say. This actually happened, folks, and it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Abbott and Costello were ahead of their time. You know, to book him, he asked the player his name, and the player said, "What?" And the referee thought he was making fun of
him.
And red carded him off the field. You know who was particularly outraged was goalie I Don't Know.
Yeah, exactly. Happily, the ref was informed that he'd made a mistake and the player was allowed to come back. So that was the good news. You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pearson, Sports Illustrated, from time to time. And he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.
What?